Welcome to The Stories We Don't Tell, a podcast about storytelling. We are your hosts, Stefan
and Paul.
We lock the van and start towards the shore, adjusting to the weight and position of the bags on our backs. Mine, a relic of Mountain Equipment Co-op past. Wide, thickly padded shoulder straps, sturdy gray canvas, with a single strong zipper, and just barely an embroidered logo visible. The others lay out cross-country skis on the edge of the ice and pack the red plastic sled with food, a big jug of water, and whatever they can slide instead of carry. I look across the lake and say, maybe I should get started. It's probably going to take me way longer without skis. Sabrina says, oh, sure. You know where to go? Which direction? I think so. Like right across to the left, right? Before the snowmobile tracks go to the right. She nods and points out a few more markers. And after we take a selfie with all of us smiling except the dog, I venture out boldly. My face to the sun that will soon set behind the island, which shadows the last third of our planned approach. Okay, I should probably explain how I got here. I work with an incredible art therapist, Orr Hargill, who facilitates online vision board workshops. I'm actually doing my 2023 board tomorrow afternoon. But last January, I created this one. It will be hard to see for some of you, so I will say out some phrases. Seek an exceptional life, navigating the unknown, venture boldly. A few days after that workshop, on a quiet Friday morning, I get a call from my dear friend Kareem. Hey, you're on speakerphone, and Sabrina's beside me. Okay, so we're going to her cottage, and a spot has just opened up, and I mentioned you, and we thought you'd have good energy alignment for this group. Aw. The cottage has no running water, so we'll use an outhouse and have to boil snow for drinking, but there's electricity and we'd each get our own bed. It's boat access only, so we have to cross over the frozen lake to get there. It's just under 5 hours away. Oh, and we leave in an hour. Oh. I think, and then I say, I'm totally honored to be thought of and invited, but I think it's too much stress to leave so quickly, but I really appreciate the invite and I hope I can take a snow check. He laughs at my pun, says he completely understands, and hopes I have a great weekend. I sit quietly on my couch. I think about how the day before, a friend of mine gave me a pair of deep snow bog boots, too big for her. She was so excited that they'd be put to good use. I get up to look at this on my shelf. Some more phrases. Don't just go with the flow. Recharge your spirit in nature. What else is worth a visit? There are friends around a fire. There are snow-covered trees. And right here, there is a single lone figure walking on a snowy lake. I snap a picture of the board, and I text Kareem, and I say, oh shit, I think I manifested this invitation. I guess I have to come. He calls me immediately to make logistical plans, and then I frantically start getting ready. Mike, my partner, is more experienced than me in this style of trip and hangs out with me while I pack. This isn't quite like a hike with all your gear situation. We don't need to bring shelter, bedding, or cookware, but I'll need to carry everything across the lake and need to consider comfort and capacity. I'm visibly nervous, and he reminds me that this is exactly the kind of thing I'd been hoping to manifest with my vision board. I know, it's a very powerful tool. A text. We're here, out front, no rush. Mike carries my bag for me to the van. I give him a quick but tight squeeze and hop in the back next to Franny, sitting on her blanket on the floor. She's an incredibly sweet, quiet pup with eyes that always look concerned. But she has a very calming presence, and I'm pleased to pet her as we get started, on our way first to collect Dylan up near the 401. We leave just after my lunchtime, stopping for burritos for the three of them to eat while I drive the next leg. I go until the gas indicator hits the last line, but before the warning light comes on. We pull off to fill up and wash the road grime off the windows. We're about halfway there now by distance, a little less by length of time. We have budgeted an extra hour or so of daylight to ensure that we'll cross the lake before dark. Kareem takes over and I'm now in the passenger seat, a spot I'm not as comfy with since I am a capable but not skilled navigator, nor confident music picker or dashboard adjuster. We are a chatty, laughing bunch, letting out a lot of hot air. I try fiddling with the knobs. We crack the front windows, which clears the windshield, but leaves the back clouded, and eventually mildly caked with a layer of crystally ice that they scrape away with credit cards. We are all in good spirits, but there's a sense of quiet urgency to fix this. I suddenly remember that air conditioning in the winter can help because it dries out the air. It works, but also it's cold. So we cycle through AC, defrost, and periodic blasts of heat for comfort. The final stretch is a windy, bumpy gravel road now covered in packed snow. The sun is definitely beginning to set, but it's still quite bright out. I ask, how long is this part? Sabrina answers, 10 or so minutes? I never really pay attention at this point. I'm just so excited to be here. I check the time, and I guess that the sun will set in about 30 to 45 minutes. We are driving through forest, passing a few recently plowed driveways, but mostly filled with pillowy, untouched snow, like the branches of the pines and cedars above. We finally get to a partially cleared parking lot beside the lake. It is backed by a stunning vision of the sky turning shades of pink and orange with streaks of purple. We've made it! Now I just need to unpack to cross before dark. So, back to me, venturing boldly. I make my way to the shallower snow in the snowmobile tracks. Cold cheeks, warm everything else. I know I've made the right decision, and I am terrified. I adore being in or on fresh water, but frozen water? I'm not trained for ice disasters, so the possibility of a catastrophe is really scary. I still go forward confidently, looking back periodically to see them catching up on their skis. Gulping crisp, cold air and soaking up the remarkably gorgeous landscape, I gratefully remind myself that this is precisely the type of opportunity I was wishing for, where the concepts of movement, discovery, and adventure are all relative. About two-thirds of the way across, Dylan and I see an area just ahead that looks not white, not snowy. It's dark gray. We get closer and see slush, where sun has melted surface snow and refrozen, and snowmobiles passing over have created deep treads. As we get even closer, we suddenly hear something different than the crunch of my boots on the snow, something more like ice cracking. We look at each other and freeze. I can feel the tears welling in my eyes behind my sunglasses. I rack my brain for memories of ice safety, something about distributing weight, hence them, on skis and laying on the ice and inching forward on your belly towards someone who falls in. But this? Is it safe to continue? How much below the refrozen slush is real thick ice? Has anyone ever fallen in this lake? Did we bring one of those silver emergency blankets? I had assumed if this ice could hold a snowmobile, it could handle us, but now I'm unsure. I say quietly, I don't know what to do. He moves closer and says, in case either of us needs to use one of my ski poles. More discussion ensues about what we should do. I imagine the possibility of using a pole to get pulled out of icy cold water, and I am more than a little irritated with myself for manifesting a navigation of the unknown so quickly and so literally. Kareem and Sabrina get closer, and suddenly Fernie bounds towards us, then right by us. Her paws thundering against the ice is alarming and sort of shakes me out of my shock. Something about her fearlessness and that the ice can handle her moving across it so vigorously ignites the courage to start moving again. Exploration has always been the key to human survival. Dylan slides his skis forward. I begin to lift each foot carefully, stepping down gently. I'm trying to be light, but fast. Heart pumping, blood still roaring in my ears. Grateful, we've silently agreed to not chat for this part of the final distance. When we turn left off the tracks, I must lift my legs higher to trudge through the deep, untouched snow. My tears return, but now they're of relief and excitement. The cabin is so wee and cute. The top corner of my vision board reads, and I will shorten it, the Zen dudes have it right that you should make everything you do count in every moment you do it. Wherever it is that you are, if life is what we make it, the best places will be wherever we choose them to be. I do a full rotation, pausing to look at how far we've traveled since we parked. It feels so far and also so laughingly close. Now that our crossing is nearly complete, I'm not quite ready for it to end. Like always, the water, though frozen, holds me differently. Finally, I step up and off the ice, over the snowy rocks, and onto solid ground. Thank you.
We're back.
We're back. It's cool. It's great. This is the first season, our first first episode to this kind of little season where we've come
mini
back.
Season that that we're bringing back. Yeah, after a couple year hiatus, here we are.
Yeah. It's good. It's good to be back. We might be a little rusty, as you're hearing, but no, it's good.
Yeah, you might hear some creaks in the background. That is our own rust and not Paul's radiator.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what do we got? We just heard Leanne's story.
Yes, which was aired January 2023, which maybe give you a hint about how long we haven't been doing podcasts.
That's true.
But you also know that as a faithful listener. So you've been waiting with bated breath since early on in the pandemic for us to return. And here we are, Paul. Here we are.
And I was just going to add that I am Paul.
You are Paul. And I am Stefan.
Yeah, there you go. And Leanne is Leanne.
There we go. We've done it. Do we even need to continue the podcast? No. Have we succeeded now?
No, I think we're good.
Well,
I thought, this is like a crowd pleaser of a story.
Oh, because, yeah. You can hear the audience.
Everybody loved it. And this is a story, even after all this time, in just even a recent workshop, we had as of this recording, was brought up by somebody else telling a story that remembered it. But it was interesting because a lot of times somebody comes in with a story and they say it's very clear. They're like, this is the story I want to tell and this is why I want to tell it. And I feel like Leanne came in a little bit more, like kind of inverted that almost.
Yeah. And this happened to me too. But sometimes you come in with like a single moment and you're like, this matters. This feels important to me. And I don't entirely know why, you know, and for me, it's more often or often maybe more like ideas or a sentence that I have or something specific that happened. Whereas this is a scene where, you know, the scene that she brought was the scene where the ice cracks and she's sort of standing out in the middle of this lake being like, oh no, have I made many mistakes to lead myself to this moment?
Mm-hmm.
And that moment could be turned into many different kinds of stories. And it was interesting to sort of, as she workshopped it, sort of see her pull out other pieces of it to come to what she felt the story was about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's really neat to watch how, and you know, I think we both experienced this kind of thing is when you have a story or you have an idea or like, I don't want to say half an idea, but just something where you're like, I'd like to form something around this, like you said, moment or experience. And it's always neat where it's almost like the ideas start colliding and they start like, you know, sticking to each other and colliding and sticking is two different things, but you get the idea.
They're first colliding and then they're sticking.
Yeah. And it's just kind of a neat that sometimes like things that you maybe were in the story or in the idea or connected to thoughts you've had with that experience, but they kind of, I'm going to use another analogy, crystallize it a little bit more like these connections. Right. And I feel like that's what was kind of neat about her story and why it was that crowd pleaser is because it could have been a very simple story about this incident that happened. But she sort of, brought in all of these other elements to it.
Well, yeah, and it became a story that could have been more about fear and sort of came more about manifesting. You know, like she really leaned into the vision board element and then brought a prop, which I know, Paul, you're a big fan of props.
Mm-hmm.
And so actually, I think brought the vision board that had led to this adventure. And I think that
sort of that process of finding that sort of, and then, yeah, the story really becomes all about this idea of pushing yourself and in the value of doing that. And then the moment becomes sort of like this sort of the climax still, you know, still becomes that sort of piece of the second of like, you know, like that's the story's building to, and then the denouement comes out afterwards. But it's almost not the point of the story anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the point of the story was about sort of this process that she went on to encourage herself to put herself out there and try to do things, and then the experience of that and then what she learned from it. Like, her own inner journey, I guess, is actually somewhat separate from the climax of the story. And that really works. And it gives you a much deeper layer to the story. Because, like, I think if she had sort of told it more plot-driven without sort of any of that underlayer, you could end being like, why did you tell this story? You know, you could end with sort of being like, well, okay, so you know, went out there and then it was had a scary moment and you were done. And you could have, that would have been lost. And the real meaning and the feelings behind it would have been lost. Whereas she was able to very successfully, I think, actually get to an answer about why the story mattered to her, what she wanted to convey, and then very successfully conveyed it in a sort of humorous and fun way, which, you know, again, landed with the audience, people had a great time, and, you know, has been remembered for a year since. And I think that's really impressive and also goes to show the importance of continuing to dig once you find a moment. You know, like, you could decide to find a moment and be like, well, this is the whole story, and then do it. Whereas the digging around it, the sort of asking yourself the questions, the sort of finding the other moments can give you a much bigger, more fulsome, more satisfying experience if you can get the whole way there.
Well, and I think that, you know, we try and encourage people to, because, you know, as we've talked a lot about, we do these workshops leading up to this event, and we try and encourage people to say, just, you don't have to have a fully formed story. Come in with a couple of ideas even, mm-hmm. sometimes, and see, because very often, you know, again, you just haven't given your mind the focus or the intention of being like, oh, what stands out for me, or why am I thinking about this, or why is this important? And that was something that you said, is that it seemed like you sometimes, and Leanne's was a good case of this, is you do come in and you go, I don't even know why this is important to me, mm-hmm. or why I, you know,
have latched on to this moment or word or whatever.
Yeah, but then, like you said, going on this sort of digging, you know, you continually dig, and there is a reason, you know, most of the time.
I would say if you can't find the reason, that's probably just means you have to keep digging. You know, like, it's very unlikely that there's a moment that really speaks to you that doesn't actually eventually come with an argument as to why or how. And so it has to do with, like, maybe you are too close to it. Maybe there's other reasons why it's not currently working for you. But I mean, if there's a moment that matters to you in a way that you feel in your heart, I truly believe you will find the story eventually. It just might take you longer than you might expect.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you can know is to actually start asking yourself the questions of what else happened around this moment. You know, why, what else was going on? What made this moment meaningful to me in that time? And part of it's that too. It's accessing the version of you who experienced that moment. Because, mm-hmm. you know, a year or two later, you might not be the same person. And so you might look back in the moment and be like, I remember it mattering, but I don't remember why.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, that's one of the values of things like journaling, is mm-hmm. that you can then go back in time and see how you were thinking at the time that was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that really gives you more to work with. Like, if you have some, it's almost like a primary source in history, right? Like, you're finding your primary source of your own thoughts leading up to that moment, which might give you insights as to why years later you're still recalling a specific moment.
Hmm.
And so, like, that's just a, you know, if you are a journaler, it can be really helpful to go back and review those moments to give yourself that space.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned that sometimes, you know, digging or unpacking these ideas, it can take longer than expected, and it took longer than expected for us to get back to doing podcasts. But, you know, I'm really glad that we're back.
Yeah.
And I thought we did all right in this first episode.
I think we did pretty well. You know, it's a season of firsts, Paul.
Yeah. And so we just want to thank Leanne for sharing her amazing story. And yeah. This is it's a great start.
Great start. Tune in next week.
We want to thank the storytellers for sharing these intimate pieces of their lives, the event hosts who welcome us into their homes, and the audiences who come to our shows and listen to this podcast. The podcast is produced by Yasmin Mansouri. Music was composed by Arlene Pakulin. And for more information on the podcast, the book, event, or to join our mailing list, please visit storieswedonttell.org.